Hi, welcome to Just Friend Zone. I'm Kevin.
I'm Jackie.
I'm Damien.
So today, as we mentioned in an earlier opening return episode, our comeback episode, there you go. We, you know, said that we were going to have a rotating cast where sometimes you weren't going to see all of us. So this is going to be one of those episodes. Today it's just the three of us. Josh is out because he's very tired. So that's why we wanted to do this, to give ourselves the option to opt out for a night and let everyone else talk. And I think that one of the big advantages of this that I don't think I touched on in our comeback episode is the dynamic changes when it's only three versus four or two versus three, right? And even with three, depending on who three are talking, the dynamic changes. And so we're going to hopefully have different kinds of conversations with the three of us involved rather than if, you know, all three of us with Josh, even if it's the same topic, right? Because Josh will have his own input and then we'll have our input on Josh's input and so on. So with that being said, today is a topic that's near and dear to all of our hearts. And so we're going to talk about our childhoods in this sense. I think everyone can relate to, you know, waking up Saturday morning to watch cartoons. And for us, you know, a big part of our childhoods was also anime. And so we're going to be talking about that today. So
you're gonna witness the weeb in all of us this episode.
Yeah, so we'll see how that goes. And you know, Josh is the least weeb out of all of us, so when I say like the dynamic's gonna be different, I think it's mostly just gonna be like the three of us are gonna kind of be real fans, and Josh isn't gonna be here to really put a limit on us being fans. So yeah, with that being said, let's get into our first kind of, you know, let's kind of warm up into this topic with what's the first anime you guys remember watching as a kid?
I can start. So I guess technically the first anime I started with was Pokemon, but I didn't really realize it was an anime. I remember how I think there is like this meme or this clip that everyone circles back to, because it's like one of those things you didn't realize as a kid that you now realize as an adult, where Brock, Ash, and Misty are like, "Look at this jelly donut. This jelly donut is delicious." And they're holding up like a rice ball. And I'm just like,
oh, yeah, yeah.
Is that just a Asian or Japanese jelly donut? I don't understand. I was just like, I want to try it. And I realized then that it was basically Americanized just to have it catered to the US audience. But I think that the first anime that I really got captivated into was Naruto. And I came across it randomly where my siblings and I used to build pillow forts in the living room with like all the sofa cushions and everything. And then we would just like have it that way as we fall asleep in the living room and just camped out there for the night. Mm-hmm. And Toonami came on and all of a sudden I saw my first clip of Naruto, and it was during the Chunin exams. And I was like, this looks pretty cool. Ninjas? Like, who doesn't like ninjas? So that's how I got introduced to anime and the world of it that I now hold near and dear to my heart so much.
Mm-hmm. So you said, the first episode you watched was during the Chunin exams arc, right? And that's like hailed as one of the best arcs of Naruto.
Mm-hmm.
Looking back on that, like, you know, I'm not saying like what character caught your attention at that time, but looking back on that like arc itself, who would you say was your favorite character of that arc?
I really liked how Naruto's like Ninetales chakra was starting to come out, because like it was starting to show like little peeps of like it kind of peering out here and there.
Mm-hmm.
Sasuke all of a sudden getting the cursed mark, tapping into it. Yeah, so like it was like obviously just the main two characters. I think I really related to Naruto, mm-hmm, as he was like the outcast. And kind of like it was more like I bonded with him or had empathy for him, and that once he was starting to prove himself, I was just like, yeah, he's not worthless. Mm-hmm. He's going to show everybody up, and like, you know, you just start to be his like biggest cheerleader.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Right, because he goes from like a real underdog story to being like this great hero, and I think that's like something that we can all relate to. And I think one thing is that I watched Naruto originally as a kid too. And I always loved it, but I never had like a means to really watch it regularly. But then, so I watched it again from the beginning to the end as like pretty recently, actually. Like I was going through grad school, I think, when I finished it. It was one of those interesting things where I was like, man, I never like realized that how many emotions you feel watching Naruto. So yeah, it's like every time like he has like one of those like speeches when he does talk no jutsu, like you're just like, damn,
that's so funny.
You tell him, Naruto, you are just like him.
It was funny when looking back, I was like, That really is his strongest trait, isn't it? Talk no jutsu. I know, like, people loved this part about him, but for me, it kind of felt more like How I Met Your Mother, like that glass shatter moment where you realize someone's, like, annoying habit. The way he would always go, like, you better believe it. Databayo. Like, it sounded better in Japanese, but, like, when you would hear the English dub where it's like, you better believe it, I was just like, I'm starting to get really annoyed anytime he said it. Mm-hmm. And I know that's like blasphemy, but it was just like one of those things where over time I was just like, got so used to it, I didn't realize that that's what he did. So I hate the fact that culture now just points out all the flaws or all the things that are like super obvious, I guess.
Yeah, I think that's like a big part of, I don't know if maybe culture was always like this, but I feel like it's a big part of culture today where it's very like nitpicky, very like hater mentality. Like nothing's allowed to just exist as it is anymore.
Yeah, I remember growing up, it like you used to be considered the weird one, like watching anime, but now it's on Hot Topic t-shirts. It's partnered with designer stuff. Like Michael Jordan did like a collab with like, I think it was Coach. Or like some designer company, like to make his own like brand of like Naruto, like clothing and accessory wear. Michael B. Jordan to be more precise.
Yeah, I thought you were talking about Jordan, like Jordan shoes. I was like, whoa, you did?
No, Michael B. Jordan. Sorry. Yeah. Like, and so it's just crazy how now it's kind of like people's way of gauging what type of person you are, but like, oh, what anime are you into?
Yeah, it's like they judge you off your taste, right? Like oh, you only watch like mainstream anime, or like you don't know this one like super niche anime. Like, come on, man, are you a real fan?
Yeah, Jackie, what anime did you get into at first?
It's kind of the same as you guys. Like, you're growing up, I remember me and my brother, it'd always be before we would leave for school at 7 a.m. It would either be Yu-Gi-Oh! On the TV or Pokemon. But then those two, I didn't really consider anime. Because it was something I see on my local TV cable, you know? But like the first official anime would probably be Naruto as well. I think a lot of people that got into anime probably back then, like around our age now, their first anime was probably Naruto as well.
Yeah, like Naruto or like Dragon Ball, I remember it was a big one that kind of got me started too. Particularly like the whole like Cell arc of Dragon Ball.
Oh, that's a good arc.
Yeah, or the Majin Buu one too. Like those are the two ones that like stand out in my memory.
My mom actually forbade my brother and I from watching Dragon Ball Z because she noticed that it was encouraging us to fight with each other more, because we would have these pretend fight scenes where we're just like punching each other, not really punching each other, but kind of like throwing fists in the air, but towards each other's direction. Mm-hmm. Like not landing any contact, but just pretending like it's like that super quick exchange of like fists. And so she was like, you're not allowed to watch that anymore. Oh. If I ever see it on TV, I'm turning off the TV and I'm sending you to bed. So that one I didn't grow up with as much of attachment with as other people because of the fact that I didn't get to like watch it as I grew up.
I see.
I'm going to like hearing things from English to Japanese. No hate to the people that either like watch it in sub or dub, but me personally, I think that it just sounds better in Japanese. Like, I can't watch it in dub. It just sounds kind of weird.
Yeah, I think sometimes like English voice actors do a good job, but I think that the reason why I don't like dubbed is it just doesn't sound right in terms of like the voice matching with the character. Mm-hmm. Like sometimes it's just a little... Yeah, it just doesn't sound right.
Yeah, to me. I don't know how to explain that. Like, you can tell that the voice actor fits the face. And, like, I feel like Japanese voice actors put a lot more oomph into their acting. Like, even though they're just in the little recording studio, they're, like, giving it their all to, like, even the littlest sound effects, like grunts.
For me, it's the yelling. Like, when you hear the yelling or, like, the battle cries in certain fight scenes, you're just like, why do American or English sounding people sound so weird doing battle cries in these scenes. I would say the only one that gets it right is Dragon Ball in that instance for the screaming part.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. I think, like, I don't know if this is like a fact or not, but this is something that someone told me once, and I have not done the research to confirm or deny it, but someone told me that like Japanese voice acting in Japan is just a much more solid career choice than it is here in America. Like, it's much more respected, and it people like take a lot more lessons, and they go through a lot more like schooling and training to become voice actors. So it's actually like really hard to be a Japanese voice actor. Not to say that it's not hard to be an English voice actor or an American voice actor, because I know that, that's a really hard industry to break into as well. But I just think that, like, I guess like the rigor level for Japanese voice acting, it's a little higher than it is for the way it is in America. And I think particularly like a lot of American voice actors, it tends to be like, once you get the job, like you've got the job and you kind of just get the same kinds of jobs. Mm-hmm. So like, I don't know if you guys have ever like looked up some of your favorite voice actors, but if you look at their like, what is it, like their credits, like who they've voiced for, it tends to be like very like similar looking characters like over and over.
So, I would say probably my favorite is probably Mark Hamill, just from like the number of different things that he's done.
Yeah, Mark Hamill's a very interesting case because, you know, he's Luke Skywalker, but then he got so fed up with like the fame of being Luke and kind of being stuck in Luke type roles that he was like, I'm going to be a voice actor where no one can judge me off of, like, by the way I look. It's just how I can manipulate my voice. And I think that's really cool.
Yeah. So touching back on anime, Kevin, did you want to say were you the same as far as connecting with either Dragon Ball or Naruto? Because I know you mentioned that a little bit. I didn't know if you wanted to expand on that a little bit more.
There's not much more to say. I mean, just when I was a kid, like, I didn't have a lot of opportunities to really watch cartoon in general, or like anything that's outside of network TV, at least. So I did watch a lot of like SpongeBob, Fairly Odd Parents, like all the like the American cartoons. But I do remember watching like Pokemon as a kid and Digimon as a kid. I just never knew that those were Japanese shows that got, you know, brought over to America and voiced over, which, by the way, very interestingly enough, this is like a very random side tangent, but it is related to anime in that Mexico actually in the 80s had a huge anime boom where like it's like the golden era of anime in Mexico. And that's just because all of like the licensing like agreements to bring anime over was much cheaper in the 80s. And Mexico didn't have any like media exports of its own at the time. So they were just importing all like as much media as they could. And so that was when they brought over a bunch of anime. And so like, if you like talk to people who grew up in Mexico in the 80s, a lot of them grew up watching anime. So then like a lot of them will tell you about like their favorite anime growing up if they like grew up in the 80s, like early 90s-ish era. It's very like random.
Interesting. Yeah, that's super random. I never knew that.
Yeah, I saw it randomly on like off of Instagram. Like there was like a reel where someone was talking about it. I thought that was like an interesting thing. Like we grew up with anime in like, you know, the 90s to the early 2000s. And like now anime as a global phenomenon is kind of its golden age. But it's like, oh, it's interesting to know that like Mexico of all places also had an anime like golden era.
Yeah.
So it's like interesting cool. to think about that. Like, yeah, before it was cool here in the States, it was cool over in Mexico. So, yeah.
Let's talk about our favorite characters or genre, some of our favorite animes that we'd like to watch, maybe rewatch over and over again.
Before we actually go into like favorite characters, can I like do a caveat onto this? Rather than like specific favorite character from each show, do you guys have like a character you guys kind of tend to gravitate toward, like an archetype or like something like that? Because I know like, I don't know if this is Jackie's specifically, but I know for a lot of girls that watch anime, it tends to be the, you know, talking about the white-haired anime men with the pretty eyes.
No, it made me laugh because I know we kind of talked about this last season on an episode where it was like, I was like, oh, Sasuke's my favorite. And then Kevin was like, Sasuke? You like the bad boys.
Yeah.
But I mean, I guess maybe because I do gravitate towards the white, silver-haired or black-haired anime character males. But then here and there it'll be like orange, you know, yellow, green, blue, but majority of it is gray, silver, and black,
which is funny if you think about it. Like, can you spot the main character in the crowd? And it's usually the blue, orange, red hair.
That's true.
Yeah,
with some sort of like eccentric style of clothing.
Yes.
Sorry, Kevin, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, like, as far as, like, Jackie's type, you're like, there's, like, the Kakashi, that guy from Jujutsu Kaisen with the pretty eyes. Yeah, him. Does that count towards, like, Jiraiya, too?
No.
He's a white-haired anime man.
Jiraiya.
Hey, Jiraiya did not fight against Pain by himself for this kind of slander. That's it, though, Jackie? Like, just white-haired, dark-haired... main character vibes.
I have your occasional like side characters. Sometimes, like, I don't feel the main, but then I'm like, ooh, the side character's cute, you know?
When you're not getting enough from, like, the main piece, you like to go to the side piece sometimes?
You don't have to put it like that. Because, like, what? If we're talking about, let's say, One Piece, my favorite is Zoro. I think what got me, though, is the voice actor. And then, like, from Jujutsu Kaisen, I don't just like Gojo. My favorite is Sukuna as well. And I noticed that the voice actor for Sukuna has also voiced many other of my favorite characters from animes that I did not know about. But I'm like, I'll watch it. I'm like, oh, this voice sounds really familiar.
Mm-hmm. It's the deep voice, right?
Yeah.
That really deep, bassy, like...
The voice actor for Sukuna, like, after I found out he voiced all these other characters that I liked, I was like, his voice is suited to talk down to people.
So you like getting talked down to.
Stop it. Stop it. What about you guys?
I was about to say, Kevin, do you have an archetype or someone you kind of gravitate towards looking to in certain animes, like, different across all genres, I guess?
I think for me, it's always, like, the underdog, or, like, I recently found out that this is a common trope in literature, but it's called the crouching moron hidden badass, where it's basically, like, it's not that they have two personalities, necessarily. For the most part, they're kind of this, like, idiot, or they're kind of, like, they're looked down on as being weak or powerless, but they have all this unrealized or untapped potential, and then so, like, occasionally, like, that part of them will come out. So everyone underestimates them. But then in the moments when they need to show up, they're always, like, taking care of, like, they're saving the day, essentially. And it's, like, I think that shows in, like, the kinds of characters I do like. Typically, like, early seasons of Naruto, or not early seasons, like, early episodes of Naruto, where, like, everyone's like, oh, he's such a, like, a fool. He's an idiot. Like, he's so useless. But then he, like, doesn't give up. And then he constantly shows that there's more to him than kind of, like, meets the eye. And same with Zenitsu. Zenitsu is one of my favorite characters of anime. He's my favorite character in Demon Slayer, just because he's got that, like, he's definitely, like, the epitome of, like, the crouching moron hidden badass, where, like, he's always, like, crying, and he's always, like, a deep coward, like, when he's awake, and then he, like, goes unconscious or he falls asleep, and then all of a sudden he's, like, this badass who, like, zips around the battlefield, like. And also, I think, like, lightning type powers always are, like, super cool to me. I just think that the kind of, like, the animation style of lightning is really sick. Yeah, I've been trying for ages to make a D&D character that has a satisfactory, like, feeling with, like, lightning based powers. But I just always feel very, like, it's just not cool enough in my head. I just go back to, like, putting that character off until later. Yeah, I think that's, like, probably the character I resonate with the most, or not resonate with, but, like, the character I tend to like the most is, yeah, that crouching moron hidden badass. I don't know, probably because, like, I feel for, like, that story of, like, they're always getting, like people always talk crap about them, and, like, always kind of, I have a lot of empathy for that kind of story, you know. Yeah, what about you, Damien?
I think I used to have that same affinity for that archetype, but I think that was, like, before. Now I've kind of gravitated towards really overpowered characters. Because what I'm more so kind of, like, enticed by watching it is kind of seeing when they stumble and how do they deal with that stumble, or, like, do they fall at all? So fitting into that a genre into there, rather, like the whole, like, isekai genre, where, like, this person gets dropped into, like, another world, they're super overpowered, and it's like, you know, what can't they do versus what can they do? Some of my favorite animes right now that pertain to that are, like, Overlord. That's a really popular one that I'm super into right now. There's another one that I wish they made more content, which is No Game No Life, where it's this, like, brother-sister combo who get, you know, dropped into a world where if, like, all the rules of society were judged by how you win a game compared to a game to someone else. So it's just, like, I wait to see if there's going to be a moment where they have some sort of, like, weakness. Like, are they fallible? And I think I have been enjoying that a lot more as a character to see.
I see. I think, like, that just kind of speaks to this, that trope itself of, like, this character who's overpowered or, like, overtuned, or, like, they seem perfect in a lot of ways, and, like, wanting to see, like, how do they respond to setbacks and failures? Not that you want to see them fall, right? Like, that's not the issue at hand. It's not that you want to see them fall, but it's, like, when everything's going your way, it's easy to keep a good head on your shoulders, I think. But I think as soon as things start to fall apart, especially when you're used to things going your way for so long, that shows you like the true measure of your character. And I think there's some actual like, truth to that, like where, you know, obviously it's an anime, but I think that there's a lot of ways in which we can look at anime and see reflections of our own life. I think that's one thing that draws us all to anime is that like, yeah, like, of course, we're not dealing with the same level of power scale as we see in these shows. But what draws us really is the stories, it's the characters, and it's the lessons that we learn from anime. And that sounds, you know, like I'm trying to be deep and profound, but I'm not. I think that's just genuinely like, that's what stories do to us. And that's what I think that it's the same thing with anime. Just because it's silly and it's animated doesn't mean that it can't do that same thing for us. I think that's just like kind of like it's just what your whole thing about like the character and like being like this top-notch character,
right? I think it's more so where I'm trying to see the moments where they are human, like the humanity in them. Like it's easy when, just to use your trope as an example, Kevin, you see the humanity in them almost all the time. And so like your high points are moments where you get to see them kind of, reach a new level. And then you cheer for them to reach that new level. For me, I don't know why, but it's much more entertaining to me when I get to see like a low point or like, you know, some sort of just human interaction where it's flawed, all of a sudden flawed. And that's kind of what makes that moment beautiful. And now I'm starting to sound like I'm making this a whole lot deeper than it needs to be. Like, and then the anime I was going to talk about was like, that time I got reincarnated as a slime. That's a really good isekai. But no means is it that deep. It is, but it isn't at the same time.
Right. You know, I say like, it's not just about like the power scale and all, like, it's like about the stories and the characters and all that, but like, it is also about the power and like watching really cool things go boom. You know, I don't think most of us would watch Demon Slayer if the artwork wasn't as phenomenal as it is. The animation wasn't as phenomenal as it is. I think that's like a perfect example, to be honest, of like one thing where it's like, yeah, like seeing all that cool stuff happen is a big part of why we watch what we watch.
Going off of like the animation style of animes, I have a question for you guys. I think I'm kind of picky when it comes to anime, and also because I read manga. If I don't think that it looks nice or if it's not pretty, I won't read or watch it. So depending on the animation style, I will choose to watch it or not watch it.
I think for me...
What about you guys?
Okay, I was like waiting for the question. I was like, this whole time she's like, I have a question for you guys. And then she didn't ask a question. I was like,
no, that's good preface. I think for me, I am much more engaged with the content. The anime style or the art style is less important to me. So, for example, I remember I really enjoy shows like Full Metal Alchemist, which is cool, but the animation is not, I mean, granted, it's like older compared to what's available now, but I still consider that one of the all-time like greatest original kind of like animes, mangas to get into. I remember I read so many of the books and watching both Full Metal Alchemist and Brotherhood, like just like the regular one, like the alternative plot and then the original. I also really love shows like Yu Yu Hakusho. I loved when they redid Hunter x Hunter and the newer animations. Actually, that's a good example. So Hunter x Hunter, the original anime, the older style, was great. And then I loved it when they gave it its redo, its remake, and an updated art form, just because you got to see cleaner fights, crisper lines, greater animation. But I think it was always about the content for me, as far as like, how do I connect with this and how awesome does this content make me feel about these characters and kind of the journey that they go on. Because as Kevin mentioned, I was kind of identifying myself in those journeys as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think it's one of those things where I'm with you, Jackie, where like if I don't find it visually appealing, I tend to drop it pretty quickly. That being said, I think I have a low threshold for what I find visually appealing. Because I think like, you know, when you compare modern anime to like the stuff we grew up with, which is like considered classics, right? Obviously, the classics animation styles, they aged. And so like compared to modern techniques, it just doesn't look as good. But like, I think with that, like Damien has also mentioned, like the story and the characters are the kind of what are the most important thing in that. Like it draws you to, that's what keeps you going, right? Like just because something is beautiful does not mean it's gonna keep you staring at it forever. But what really draws you in and keeps you watching week after week or like episode after episode through, you know, and like classic anime had hundreds of episodes. It's not like anime today where like you know, you have a short, concise, like 20 episode season, and then you're like, okay, cool, now I have to wait for the next bit of content to come out. It's like we were waiting for week after week after week for it to come out, mm-hmm. and we were watching for like years, right? But it's not the same. But like what keeps you going is like you connect with these characters, you connect with the storylines, and you just want to keep watching it over and over. So yeah, like I don't know, I talk about like all these like flashy things that I enjoy about anime, but I also watch like really like down to earth anime. Like there's one on Netflix called Kotaro Lives Alone, and it's basically about like these neighbors who live in an apartment complex together, or an apartment building together, and like it's just the story of them doing life together. Like there's nothing crazy about it, there's no like overly dramatic plots. You're just learning about these people and who they are as like human beings. And so interesting. Because like Kotaro in the show itself, he's like this 4-year-old kid and he lives alone in this apartment building. So like all the neighbors are curious, like, why does he live alone? Like, who does he have to take care of him? How is he living alone? And so like, it's like a found family journey, basically. Like this apartment mm-hmm. building, this group of people, they become a family together. And it's super wholesome. It's super heartwarming. But nothing like crazy happens in it, right? But I think it's like that idea of like, it doesn't have to be visually appealing for it to draw you in and to keep you going. Yeah, I don't know. That's also a cute little anime recommendation for the listeners and for you guys. Kotaro Lives Alone on Netflix. I think that's a really fun one.
I know, yeah, same. It's like, I think it also, for me, it also applies to the genre of anime I'm watching. So I tend to watch a lot of like romance animes when I feel like I need like that little oomph, you know, of romance in my life. Or sometimes also when I need a good cry, I will watch romance animes.
Do you guys cry when you watch anime?
I cried when I watched your Kimi no Nawa, Your Name. I don't know if that counts. Does that count?
I mean, yeah, it's anime, so it's just an anime movie, right? Not an anime show.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
Like the last anime I watched, just because I wanted to for the romance and because of how love, like romantic it was and heartfelt, is probably Violet Evergarden.
Oh, dude, I was just going to say, movie. Yeah, that was the last time I cried for anime. But that's like the only time I've cried for anime too. Like I get emotional, don't get me wrong. Like there are times when I get emotional, but Violet Evergarden is the only anime I've ever cried in.
Yeah, context of the anime, the plot and everything also play a factor as well. I agree with you guys.
Mm-hmm. Going off of that, just going to move, well, more so just moving on to the next question. Have you guys ever been to anime conventions? Have you ever been to Anime Expo or anything like that?
Yeah, I went to Anime Expo for the first time this past summer, actually.
And that is why I posed the question. Kevin, share your experiences. Was it your first one? Have you been to once before?
No, yeah, it was the first time I ever went. I was actually lined up to go in 2015, so 7 years ago. But for reasons I can't remember, I backed out of it. I bought my ticket and everything, and then just last minute, I just backed out. I was like, I don't want to go. I just ended up waiting 7 years to go. Basically, what happened was a friend of mine kind of invited me and asked, like, hey, like, we're all going to go. Do you want to come with us? And I was like, yeah, sure. Like, I'd love to. So we all went. And I don't know, like, maybe it's because, you know, it's like the first time Anime Expo was holding its convention since COVID. Maybe it's also because I'm just older, so I don't have as much of like a starry-eyed view of things. It just didn't feel that exciting to me. I went and then I was just kind of like, oh, like this isn't what I expected. Like, where are the sights and smells that I was expecting? Particularly, where are the smells that I was expecting? Because like everyone told me that Anime Expo, like it smells so horrible. And then I was like, oh, I'm ready for it. Like I want this experience. And I show up and like, it's like nothing. I was like, oh, this just smells like a normal like convention ground. Like it just smells like people. I don't know. Like I said, I think it's just the expectation was high. And then, yeah, it just wasn't that. So for the most part, I felt like Anime Expo was pretty like just chill. It was normal. You know, there was like cosplayers. There was like people you take pictures with and then all that stuff. And I got to do that. I visited some of the booths and those are cool. You get some free stuff out of it. And you get to get like a sneak peek at some of like upcoming future projects. But then like you go down to the art gallery, you get to see like, you know, what kind of people are like making cool like little merch stuff. And so I was walking up and down, and the press of bodies in that art hallway is, wow, like, that was when I was expecting, like, more of the smell to hit me. It still didn't, by the way. Like, I was like, wow, people just learned how to, like, use deodorant or what? Like, this is so disappointing.
I think that's the thing. Maybe people got better because, like you said, it was right after the pandemic, and people were like, maybe I need to have my hygiene a little bit better so I don't get sick from this deadly virus.
Right. Yeah. So I was just, but I mean, you know, it's just, it's disappointing. It's like, you know, you go to a restaurant because it's like famed for its ambiance, and when you get there, the ambiance just isn't, it's like not that great. You're like, oh, okay, like
it's a weird thing that you were looking forward to BO though. Like, out of all games to judge your anime like convention experience on, it's the body odor, Kev.
I know.
What we need to do is have a trip where it's like the three of us instead, and then when you're surrounded by at least my energy, you'll feel it.
No, yeah, I mean, it was cool. Otherwise, this random girl like flashed a nipple at me. That was weird. Yeah, that's a whole thing where kind of, you know, like it was in the art hallway thing, and then I was trying to navigate with my friends. Like we were all trying to go in one direction. We got separated, and then it was just me and like one person from my group, and we were trying to like cut through the crowd. And then as I'm walking, kind of just like the sea of bodies parts, and I see this, we'll say, large woman, and she's just kind of barreling her way through the crowd in my direction, and then her chest just pops out of her shirt, and I was just like, oh dear, like the eye of Sauron just like, oh wow, like right in my face. I was like, oh god, you know, like how in Lord of the Rings there's that scene every time Frodo puts on the ring and then Sauron comes up and just like it zooms into him and it's like, I see you. Yeah, that's how I felt. I was like, oh god, like this is inescapable. And then I turned away.
It's a very, very vivid description of just saying someone's titty fell out. Like, that's all you needed to say. You don't need to say I got flashed or like I got a little flash or is the eye of Sauron. You just be like, oh, I'll just walk the floor and someone's titty fell out. That's it. Like,
but that's not nearly as entertaining.
You're right. Jackie, have you ever been to any conventions before?
I have been to Anime Expo before. I've been to like little ones. My workplace has collabed with Pop Umai this past couple of months. We had a Demon Slayer event, which I was really excited for. But I can't believe that, like, Kevin, you were just expecting BO. Yes, unfortunately, there are those anime fans did not have as good hygiene as they should. But to think that that's what you were expecting. Kind of.
Well, it's just like, it's just a thing people hyped up to me. Like, people just said, like, it's unlike anything you'll ever experience. And I was like, okay, like, that's something that, like, I want to experience then. Like, if it's so unique to this moment in time, then like I have to go try it. It's like A5 Wagyu, right? Like people say A5 Wagyu is like unlike any other piece of meat you'll ever eat. It's like, okay, if it's unlike any other piece of meat I'll ever eat, and this is unlike any other smell I'll ever smell, it's like, yeah, it might be bad, but then like, aren't you curious to know how bad it is?
Well, let me ask you this then. Did you do any of the nighttime stuff?
No, I didn't.
Okay, so I think that's where you're probably missing a good portion out of, because like, it's not just about walking the floor and then randomly smelling someone's BO. It's like, no, it's about someone who's been on the floor all day, then goes out at night to specific night events for the convention, where it's like the anime rave or the anime dance or that sort of thing for the convention, and then people are really sweating.
Oh,
and then like the number of days, like let's say it's like day two and they still haven't showered from day one, because they're just continuously walking the floor. And they decided to play Street Fighter all night on the convention floor, and decided to like then walk the floor, then go to the dance part. That's where all the BO comes in. I would say, like, because I remember you telling us how you went, but you only went for like a day trip. Like, yeah, it's another thing to split like a hotel or Airbnb with your friends, so that way you guys are nearby, so that way you can just be able to walk in and out of the convention freely and not have to worry about like, oh, I got to make it back to my home in X amount of hours. So if we ever do a convention, just know that I'm going to be wanting to get like a hotel room or something.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm totally down for that.
Yeah, because I think that also adds to the experience of like just kind of making it feel like a mini vacation, even though for us it's just like 40 minutes away.
Mm-hmm. You know, you're kind of speaking with this like level of experience and this knowledge. I'm assuming you've been to conventions?
Yeah, so I've been to Fanime, which is the convention in San Jose, twice. And I've been to SAC Anime, which is in Sacramento. like once in my life. Yeah, no, I didn't choose the name.
No, I heard it. I was like,
I'm just giving this face when he's just like trying to hold in, contain himself.
And I was, it's just such an unfortunate name. It's just a very unfortunate name. That's all.
I know. Anyways, so yeah, that's exactly what my buddies and I did. Well, the first time I went to Fanime, I did like the day trip thing. Oh, wait, that means I've been three times. Because the second and third time, like my friends and I split a hotel, like an Airbnb that was just like walking distance from the convention center.
Oh, dang.
Yeah. And so like we got to just like day drink, walk over, walk the floor, go to the panels. I tried entering a Magic the Gathering tournament. I got smoked, just completely wiped because everyone else had like all the expensive cards and I was just a casual Magic the Gathering player. As far as like buying the cards, because like I just had like a deck that was out of date and I just wanted to play. And I ended up entering a tournament where people were being all sweaty and taking it seriously. And then you go to the rave at night and you get to wonder, is the girl over there actually a girl or is it a dude dressed in a head wig and just a dress? You just never know. And so at that point, you're not only afraid to dance with a girl because you don't know if it's a girl, but at the same time, some of them are also underage because it's also all ages events. So you're just like, I got the whole experience through and through, and I would go back 100% every single time if I could. And which is why I want to eventually go to Anime Expo, because, you know, that's the biggest one. That's the most popular one, as far as, like, I know. So I just want to be able to experience it for myself and get the full take in. I think that I really want to go next year as part of, like, you know, my to-do list. So let's aim for Just Friend Zone Anime Expo 2023.
I am down. I mean, I think definitely, you know, you got me and Jackie on board. I think the difficult part will be getting Josh on board. I think he's definitely going to be like the most like casual about it. Like, I don't know if I'm down for it. I'm not that big of a fan. I can already hear like kind of some of the stuff he'll push back on. Like, I watch anime subbed. He doesn't watch anime subbed. Just for listeners, he doesn't watch anime subbed. He'll very much like me to let you guys know he only watched it. Oh, sorry. He doesn't watch it dubbed. He watches it subbed. He only watched two episodes of an anime dubbed once. And then I gave him major crap for it. And he would like everyone to know he watches it subbed.
Well, then he can crash with Peter and Mooney. And then we can all go get dinner like afterwards or something.
Oh, that's a good point. That's a really good point. Okay, yeah. We're going to make this happen, guys.
Right?
We're
going to make this happen. Right? Yeah. It's all on the cards. We got the plan.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure Peter would be down.
Is he into anime?
Peter's hella into anime. Peter's the reason why I watch a lot of anime, actually, because he'll recommend.
I didn't know that.
He'll recommend. Yeah, he'll. What is it? When I was like in high school, I was like getting into Gundam, and then he was like, "Oh, if you're gonna get into Gundam, you have to watch Gundam Seed and Gundam Seed Destiny." And so I was like, "Okay," so I watched it, and I was like, "Dude, no regrets." And then he told me to watch Code Geass, and I was like, "Okay, I'll watch Code Geass." So
Code Geass.
Yeah, so he's actually the reason why I watch a lot of the anime I watch. So like Haikyuu was one he recommended to me. What else has he recommended to me? There's like just a bunch of them. Pretty much, but like Josh will also give me crap for this because basically when Josh recommends anything to me, I don't really like, yeah, whatever. And if Peter recommends it to me, I'm like, oh, okay, I'll watch it. And then I'll watch it. So Josh like gets a little like offended that I never like listened to his recommendations.
He's going to laugh when he hears the replay of this.
He's going to be like, at least, he'll probably be like, at least he knows. Like, yes, I'm aware of it, Josh, don't worry.
What were you going to say, Jackie?
Oh, I was going to say, if we go to Anime Expo next year, I would love for us to cosplay. But the only thing, I guess it's kind of tedious, is that if you do have to go through check-in. And like the check-in is like a really long line for cosplayers. Just because there's like specific items that you can't and can't have. And like depends on maybe like what material your weapon is made out of.
Like they are super strict about that just because they're trying to do it for the safety of the convention, obviously.
Mm-hmm. Right. Makes sense.
One of my things was like, I love anime. And I always wanted to go to an anime event. But like I want a cosplay where it's like a legit cosplay that cost me like hundreds of dollars to like even make myself or even like pay someone to make it for. Like, I've always wanted to cosplay as a League of Legends character.
Like, literally?
I think the first character I wanted to cosplay as is Ash, actually. Oh,
that'd be cool.
But, like, I'd want it to be legit.
So, if we did do that cosplay, would we do, like, a group cosplay? Like, all of us are picking, like, the same theme? So we'd all do, like, a League of Legends thing?
I think I would like to do that as well. I remember I would laugh so hard when there was that year that the buff Magikarp cosplay came out, where it was a dude with just a Magikarp head, but he was like a bodybuilder, so he was just like ripped everywhere else. So he was like shirtless, he was ripped, and then but he had like this dorky face on where it's just a Magikarp for a head. I gotta find the photo. I gotta find it now.
Okay, send it to us after, but okay, I mean, going along that vein, I mean, Jackie's already told us that she wants to do Ash for her cosplay. Damon, you got any ideas for what you'd do? I mean, I already know you've done a brand, you do a mean brand cosplay.
I'm not doing that again. My eyes were on, not intended, my eyes were on fire for the whole day. So for context, listeners, there was a time in high school where I decided to do full body paint for Halloween, because I saw in the school dress code, it said nothing about requiring a shirt. It had a bunch of rules of what you were not allowed to wear, like mini skirts or like things like obviously pertaining to like the female body, but it said nothing about you have to wear a shirt. So I decided to wake up really early that Halloween morning and just paint my entire body as Brand, like the fire pyro character from League of Legends. But I used regular paint instead of body paint, and I painted my face. So it was burning into my flesh and my eyes. People thought I was dedicated to the bit, and I was just like, no, I'm just in pain the entire day.
It really helped you get in character, though, at least.
That sounds so painful.
I bet. No, I mean, any ideas for what you'd probably do as like to kind of match with Jackie?
I feel like I want to do set. Just because I am Frat Boy Chad, but I'm nowhere near like lean or chiseled. Maybe I'll go as Gragas.
I feel like if you wanted to go as set though, and you wanted to be like a realistic, like proportionally, like you'd have to get on gear for that. So yeah. I just think like, I feel like for like you and me, like if we just kind of got lean, it's good enough. When I went to Anime Expo, they had a League of Legends booth for it, or like an exhibit for like the Star Guardians, you know, because that was when Star Guardians, they were going to release the skin line, the new skin line. So they had a like a Star Guardian Rakan and Star Guardian Xayah. But that Rakan, credit to the guy for being willing to be Rakan, but he was nowhere near as like good looking as Rakan. It's just one of those things where it's kind of like, I feel like you don't have to have the body for it as long as you're willing to, you know,
go through the costume and gain the details right sort of thing.
Yeah, and like embody the character, you know, in terms of like attitude.
Okay. All right. You've convinced me. I feel like I'd be set. What about you, Kev? What League of Legends character would you pick?
It's a good question. I don't know. Maybe I'll do Zac and I'll just do the same thing you did, paint my body green. No. I have no idea. I really don't. Because I've never had to think about this question before. That's probably why. Because I think we've joked that I would be like Pool Party Leona, but I don't think that would be appropriate. And also, it'd probably be pretty difficult to do.
That happens all the time at conventions where it's like, I am this but male or female version, or like, I am this but steampunk version, or like people have made kind of things like that. So I don't think a male Pool Party Leona would be out of the question.
Yeah, but I feel like I'd like really want to commit to it, and I'd wear like the bikini and everything, you know? So, and I just think people don't need to see that. So
I feel like I could see you as Ezreal. I feel like that would be a good one. Pretty easy to pull off.
Yeah, I could do that. Like in terms of like the cocky personality, I think I could do that pretty well.
If we're really choosing characters with like the cosplay, I need to revisit this because Ash was just my first one that I would like to cosplay. But
oh, you know what'd be really fun? If I did Jin, I think Jin would be a lot of fun. Just kind of like embodying that psychopath character.
Jin would be a good one.
Mm-hmm. I might do that then. If we're really doing this, I might do that.
I feel like I could be Garen. I feel like Garen would probably be like another good one.
You have to do God King Garen though.
God King? That's so much armor detail.
I would want to do Coven Ahri.
Ooh, yeah. That's a good one.
Ooh. We're bringing skins out? We're bringing specific skins out? Shoot.
I would bring out a specific skin. Maybe like Battle Academia Garen. Yeah.
We're just not thinking that. Anyways.
Yeah, we kind of got away from the anime topic.
Yeah. Well, so I guess like, I don't know if we want this to be the last question, but I would say the next one that I would probably want to round this out with is, what anime do you consider to be overrated, underrated, your current favorite, all-time favorite?
Yeah, I don't know about overrated anime just because I actually don't watch too much, and I only watch it like once like people start to hype it up. Like I'm not somebody who like watches anime like in my own free time. I would say I don't really know too much about like whether or not an anime is overrated. It's just kind of like, eh, that wasn't really my cup of tea. But I've never watched an anime and thought like that wasn't my cup of tea because I just love anime as a whole. In terms of underrated, I do know that it's popular, but I think it's not popular enough, which is Fate Stay Night.
Oh, yes.
I was going to say that yeah. too.
I think that Fate Stay Night is criminally underrated because I know that it's popular, but I don't think it gets nearly the level of love that it deserves.
I love that series so much. Like every yeah. season that they come out with, I just mm-hmm. deeply in love with the characters. Because not only is it beautifully animated, but there's so much question on like morality and like, you know, such thought-provoking things as far as like the interaction between these people.
And I think like the concept itself is just so creative too. Like this idea of like taking characters from like history and myth and like putting them together and like creating these beautiful battles. Like, and like the really cool thing I think is that they don't even explicitly state that certain characters' abilities are because of their stories and the myths that they have. Just randomly, well, there'll be like a random thing and you'll be like, oh, that was weird. But then like if you look into like their wiki, it's like, oh, they have this specific ability because it was part of like their lore in their history or their mythology. And I think that's really cool. The level of detail that it goes into each character.
Yeah, that's what I really enjoyed about it too, like the ties to historical reference, and that made me actually look up like the history behind the certain champions and characters that were chosen.
Yeah, I probably gonna say this in every episode, but there's always like a D&D character that I'm working on in my head, right? Or like that I have like a concept for. And I've been working on a concept for Archer for forever. Ever since I saw Fate Stay Night, and then ever since I started playing D&D. So at least 5 years back, I've been trying to come up with a concept for Archer that I'm like genuinely like, oh, this feels like Archer. But I just can't like, it just never feels like it's good enough.
You're telling me Usha Ramon is not... was not good enough.
Okay, that needs context. Basically, Usha Ramon is a character that I pulled out for a campaign that I am running, which Damien is playing in. And Usha Ramon is like this kind of archer type character. Like when I say archer, I mean the general term archer, not specifically referring to Archer from Fate Stay Night. But he's an archer character, and basically he's just kind of like this at a higher power level than where Damien and the rest of the party are at. And so he kind of like carried them through one of the combat encounters. You know, he was really cool, but the name itself is also kind of a meme. For those who kind of haven't figured it out, it's basically Usher, the singer. And the reason for that is, you know, our fourth host who happens to be missing, Josh, used to play D&D. And a lot of the characters that I'm pulling out for this campaign are characters that Josh has previously played. And so a lot of the names are just ones that he's come up with. And so a lot of them are also like just, they happen to be pop culture icons. So like Usher is one of them. There's the Korean singer Sean, who also happened to be a character Josh played. So it's just like random things like that where, yeah, so that's why the name is Usher, or it's Usher, because that's how Josh wanted it pronounced, but it's spelled like Usher. Yeah, that's that character. And I think that that character is cool, but I built that character from a different concept. So it's not the same exact thing as Archer. And so that's what I'm trying to go for. But yeah, I think that's probably the anime I would say is underrated. Going back to the question at hand.
I know, like circling back to the original thing that I asked. But no, that's a good one to call out. I was originally going to say something else, but I have to agree with you, hands down.
That's crazy. Y'all thought the same underrated anime.
I know, which makes you kind of think maybe it's not underrated at all. Or it's actually very underrated because all three of us agree that it's underrated. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. But yeah. All right. Well, this is a fun conversation. I think we didn't go as hardcore into fangirl fanboying as much as I thought we would, but we did kind of go off on tangents and we did talk a lot about things that weren't even anime related. But, you know, that's like the fun nature of being on these podcasts with you guys. So I hope that in future conversations we can do with just the three of us. I'm also excited to see what, you know, maybe if it's just the two of you with Josh, with just me, Damien, and Josh without talking about the gym.
I don't think that would ever happen, to be honest.
I know. It's, you know, I can dream.
Yeah. And who knows? Maybe this anime thing will be a series just because I feel like, as Kevin said, we tapped into some things, but obviously there's a much larger pool of content and like conversation that we can bring into the mix.
Yeah, so, definitely.
Yeah. Looking forward to what the future holds for us in store. So
for sure. Yeah, same. But with that being said, thanks for listening. Thanks for sticking with us. For now, we'll see you guys next time. Bye.
Bye.